Question, of course, you may want to ask, and Yehuda HaLevi will ask in a future lecture, is it possible to articulate a feeling, something that you love, something you care about, something that's in your heart? Can it be articulated? Or if you articulate it in such a way as to explain it, don't you lose the initial feeling, the initial glow, the initial intensity in which the feeling emerged in the first place? So that's a very interesting question. For Sajid, there's no problem. Everything I feel, I can explain. And therefore, everything that I believe in, I need to rationalize. I need to explain in a rational way. Now, the other side of the coin is, why revelation? If we can approach these truths by reason, why do we need revelation? In other words, why do we need to accept the truth, the faith of Judaism, by reading sacred scripture? And the answer, Sajji admits, are also for two reasons. Number one, revelation is needed for the unwashed masses, so to speak. Those people that are really not as smart as we are, right? I assume that everybody that listens to these tapes in the teaching company is a philosopher. But what about the other people that don't listen to those tapes? They need the Bible, they need the biblical text, because they can't utilize their reason. And therefore, they arrive at the same truths without doing it rationally. So for them, for the dummies, so to speak, the text is a good thing. Second of all, and here is a very interesting argument from a philosopher, revelation is useful because it provides a kind of emotional certainty, a kind of emotional fulfillment that cannot be done, not be achieved through calculated reason. In other words, there is something. It reinforces our rational argument. We know something rationally, but we also know something because it is emotionally, we are emotionally committed to it. And therefore, revelation and reason work in harmony. But the basic issue, of course, is this, in evaluating Sajid's argument here. Are reason and revelation indeed equivalent? Are there not, at times, problems with this formulation? Can you simply take Aristotelian philosophy or Platonic philosophy and impose it on Judaism or on Christianity or in Islam and come up with the same thing? Is the biblical text, the story of creation in Genesis, really philosophical? Notice how relevant these questions are. What I'm trying to do here in this very simplified version of medieval philosophy is to point out to you that we are still talking about the same issues. Creationism, for example. Sajid has a big section in his work on creation. In other words, can we understand faith in a rational way? Aren't we having the same discussions and arguments within American culture today? So that, indeed, these are not so far removed from even the world that we live in. Be that as it may, even in Sajid's systems, it seems to me there are tensions. In other words, it doesn't work that there's a total equivalency. A work that was created in the ancient Near East, that comes out of an experience of Jewish tradition, cannot be made to equal in every respect the philosophical culture of Greece and Rome centuries later. There is indeed a disconnect, and let us talk about that. In Sajid's system, the believer must approach philosophy with the prior conviction of the truth of revelation. In other words, there are limits to this philosophical inquiry. The task of philosophy, as Sajid would define it, is merely to provide a rational proof of what revelation has already maintained. In other words, we can't be totally skeptical here. We can't start out with the assumption that you got to prove everything. Sajid, in the back of his mind, knows what the truth is. That comes from the Torah. That comes from revelation. That comes from the Bible. And what I have to do as a philosopher, Sajid is saying, is to try to explain rationally those pre-given truths, those preconceptions of what the truth is.